Board Committee on Rules. We're hoping it's the last time we see Senate Bill 10 in front of this committee today. It is also the Friday before spring break, and I think almost halfway through the legislative session.
I thought we were more than halfway through.
I don't think so. I could be wrong.
June?
I think it's the sort of the end of June, Sarah Nelson.
I just
if you were to continue to cooperate, we could maybe even get done
I'm
before
trying
the
as hard
end
as I
of
can.
June. I know.
Hard.
Okay. Mr. Rettlinger, would you just walk us through what we have in front of us today?
Yes. For the record, Ted Reutlinger from the Legislative Council's office. I'll be working off the dash 20s. And
please.
The differences between these amendments and the ones that you've considered previously this week are these. Number one, we changed the dollar amounts to $50 throughout the bill to be consistent. What that means is that for lobbyist and lobbyist entity reports, the previous amendments required itemization of expenditures of over $75. These amendments change that number to 50. As you remember, the bill sets a $50 gift limit. Second, the numbers change from 75 to 50 for purposes of what public officials must report as far as trips that may be paid for by other people, by nonprofits, by government entities. This bill requires now government officials or public officials to report those expenses if they're over $50, and it requires the people who pay for those expenses to provide the public official with a statement of how much was spent when the amount is over $50 instead of $75. The second change is an electronic reporting. What the bill, the dash 20s, now say is that beginning January 1st, 2008, the GSPC must allow people to file lobbyist statements and statements of economic interest either electronically or on paper. That option would exist for 2 years. Then on January 1st, 2010, it would switch to a totally electronic filing system. The third change is on the letter of
Madam Chair. Senator Johnson.
An electronic filing system maintained by where?
Chair Brown, Senator Johnson, the bill now directs the GSPC to make that happen. Period. That's all it says, is that the Government Standards and Practices Commission shall allow filing by electronic means.
Okay. That, Madam Chair, is something I guess I'd like to follow up on. If we're going to piggyback, just give them that direction and hope the commission handles it, or is there some opportunity for a preview, whether we're going to graft it onto the Secretary of State's system, or...
Thank you, Senator Johnson. We made a decision early on not to graft it onto the Secretary of State's system. Two reasons. One, obviously, the difficulties at the outset set with the Secretary of State system, but the second is we didn't want to confuse folks with campaign reporting and ethics reporting, so we wanted to keep those two systems separate. I don't know what resources. I know that there are resources in the co-chair's budget, but I don't know what resources and how soon they will be available to get the electronic system up and running. So I anticipate that will be a discussion held in the Ways and Means Committee.
Well, the one thing I guess I want to add to this, and a piece of information has just recently come to me, that for the CNEs and the Secretary of State's office, that the original contract started out at $350,000 or in that area, went to seven, and is now heading into the millions. And I don't know, given the volume of reporting that we're asking GSPC to do, I just want to urge caution in saying creating another IT superstructure without knowing what the costs are might not be prudent.
Thank you, and that's why the bill is going to Ways and Means to wrestle with those issues. So, all right.
The next thing is the letter of reprimand. The previous bill allowed the GSPC, in lieu of a civil penalty, to issue a letter of reprimand or explanation. The new amendments expand the flexibility that the commission has. It allows them to issue a written letter of reprimand, of explanation, or of education. It allows the commission to issue that letter instead of finding a violation. It allows them to issue it instead of imposing a penalty. or they can issue it in conjunction with finding the violation or in conjunction with imposing the penalty. So I think it sort of covers all options and gives the commission the flexibility to do what it would like with respect to penalties. The next thing it does in these amendments is change the word spouse, which appeared in two exceptions to the definition of gift for purposes of attending functions and traveling on trade missions. We substituted the phrase member of the household. In the current law, that phrase is defined as a relative who lives with a public official. I changed it to say a person who lives with a public official. And so that's slightly broader. The Law Commission took an approach where they amended the definition of relative to include domestic partners. That's another alternative that could be used. This would cover anybody who lives with a public official could go along with the public official and enjoy the food, beverage, travel expenses that are permitted. And finally, on the funding piece.
But not your dog.
But not your dog. Dogs would not be a person.
Sorry, Mr. President. Your Yoda is not allowed to go with you.
Exception to that statement, Chair.
I was referring to the Senate President's Yoda.
Okay. The last thing it does is in the funding piece, the audit funding piece, I added language to the amendments that would capture public corporations, which are under the definitions in the statutes considered special government bodies. Specifically, it would cover SAFE under the group of public bodies and state governments that would be assessed for the costs of the commission, the GSPC. And those are the five main changes that are in these amendments.
All right. And the Dash 20 amendments include the auditing system that folks preferred over the fee-charging system. Is that accurate?
The Dash 20s include the system for the special governments, which is based upon the municipal audit law fees.
Questions for Mr. Redlinger. Senator Johnson.
Every public body files those audit reports with the Secretary of State.
Chair Brown, Senator Johnson, no. Only municipal corporations. So it's going to be basically the cities, the counties, and the special districts that are subject to the municipal audit law that will be handled by the piece of this assessment that's based upon the municipal audit fee. Bodies in state government will be still covered under the original concept where they will be charged a rate per person serving the public body.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions? Thank you, Mr. Redlinger. We really appreciate your incredible hard work and your attention to detail. Comments? Sarah Nelson?
You're just breathing. You want to make some comments?
I really appreciate all the hard work everyone's done, but I mean, I still don't think we've come to our standard of principles or what we're trying to do here, you know, and keep the voters informed, foster political activity, something that's flexible and easy to use and to understand, combats influence peddling and fosters competition amongst political candidates. And I just don't see that at this point this bill reaches any of those things. I think there's a lot of good things about it, and electronic filing I think is a wonderful thing, and we've got to figure out some way to fund the commission so that they're not there. I'm also have concerns as well. We're trying to separate ethics from the CNEs, and so we're talking about a $50 or whatever limitations, and on the other side of the aisle or other side of the equation is the two parties have raised $900,000 since the last election. So I'm thinking, well, it's $50 versus $900,000. I mean, the public is not that stupid. I mean, they're going to say, geez, where do these things come down at? So I like the direction we're going, but I just think this thing needs a lot more work.
Thank you. Other comments?
Madam Chair, if you will indulge me at the appropriate time, I'd like to have a final discussion on the Dash 18 amendments.
Sure. Okay. Senator Farrelly, now would be the time.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've talked to a number of folks who would like to go on record in support of the Dash 18s, if that's possible. And also, I'd like to bring yet another issue to bear that maybe we have not had a discussion of, and that is when we do these assessments, we're going to ask folks to keep track of their FTE. And I think that offers a whole realm of opportunity for us to watch as the bean counters argue about when an FTE is or is not an FTE and who has to keep track of it and between what period and what period an FTE was on the payroll and do half people or thirds of people or eighths of people count and do you count your part-time divided by the number of hours to equal the FTEs. So the assessment issue might be a little more complicated than we're thinking it would be, especially with organizations like Oregon Health Sciences University, just to pick one out of the thin air, because they have a lot of people cycling through all the time. So I would just suggest, Madam Chair, that there is an overriding interest in the entire public, in the entire citizenry of the state of Oregon, having a certain funding mechanism sequestered away from the legislature placed in an interest-bearing account with the state treasurer who could manage those funds and then making the corpus earn dollars for the full funding of GSPC.
Thank
you. Just the idea that I didn't think about this earlier, the whole issue of FTEs will require a subset of auditing to be done by the agencies, and then that would be subject to challenge if people don't agree with it, and pretty soon you're again in a paper chase on who counts and who doesn't count.
Thank you. Senator Farrelly, my understanding is this bill is going to the Ways and Means Committee, and I'm confident that the certified smart bean counters and Ways and Means can wrestle out some of those Ways and Means issues. I believe it will be going to Representative Jensen's committee, though it's certainly possible it goes to Senator Johnson's committee. So I'm confident that it is in very, very capable hands. In terms of the Dash 18 amendments, I'm willing to allow testimony. Anybody wishing to testify on the Dash 18 should feel free to come forward at this point in time.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Scott Winkles representing the League of Oregon Cities. We've had a chance to evaluate and analyze the Dash 18 amendments, and we find them to be a very creative and an excellent proposal put forward by Senator Farrelly, and we'd be supportive of them and feel that they deserve further exploration.
Thank you. Ms. Ingram.
Madam Chair, likewise, Genoa Ingram, Special Districts Association, and the Oregon Fire District Directors Association have had conversations with both those associations. The Special Districts Association does still very much like the Dash 19 amendments, which used to be the Dash 15 amendments. They have had an opportunity to look at the Dash 18s. They like them very much. That is the same position as the Fire District Directors Association. We just want to say, I think the first time I testified on this bill, we were in opposition. There are a lot of good things in this bill. We've come a long way, and we just appreciate that, and we hope to continue working with you on the bill. It's getting to be a very good bill.
Thank you. Morgan Cowling with the Association of Oregon Counties. And our organization has not officially taken a position on the Dash 18s, but we think that the idea is intriguing and worth further discussion in terms of the long-term funding for this. And as you know, our concern with the assessment is that the counties are currently undergoing some financial uncertainty. And so I just wanted to put on that on record. Thank you.
Thank you. As we continue the discussion, as the bill goes down the Ways and Means, I'm happy to hear from your organizations about which pots of money you'd like the $14 million to come out of. So I won't put you on the spot right now. Questions? Hang on just a second, but other people might. Questions for this group? Okay. Thank you very much. Mr. Bishop. Come on forward. Ms. Miller, come on forward.
You go first.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Bruce Bishop. I'm appearing this afternoon as president of the Capital Club. As many of you know, the Capital Club is the private organization of approximately 400 professional lobbyists who spend most of our time, particularly during regular legislative sessions, with you in the building. And it's our privilege to do that as advocates on behalf of our clients and the interests that we represent. Our Capital Club bylaws and standards of professional conduct obligate us to abide by House and Senate rules, state law, and rules. And we conscientiously attempt to do that. In that regard, it is much easier for us in our professional activities if we have clear and consistent standards that we know what we're supposed to be doing. And overall, I think that is the goal that we would like to see come out of Senate Bill 10. Specifically with regard to the Dash 18 amendments and the financing approach that they propose, I don't have a Capital Club position to represent for you this afternoon. Some of my members are representatives and advocates for public entities who will be assessed. Some of my members are not, and as often in this situation, I'm going to support my members.
Thank you, Mr. Bishop. That was a very helpful testimony. Ms. Miller.
But.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were done. That was just the punchline.
But we would clearly have a position if you were looking at some of the other options for financing the Government Standards and Practices Commission that have been talked about previously, both in the committee and by the Oregon Law Commission and its work groups in this area. We think there are, in fact, some significant constitutional issues if you were, for example, to consider assessing lobbyists as one of the ways of financing that operation. So there are some things I know I could oppose. You don't have those in front of you, and I think this approach is one of those that would probably be preferable to some of the things that would be clearly objectionable. So I can't support the Dash 18, but I would not express the level of opposition that I might otherwise if you were looking at other methodologies for financing the operations of that agency.
Thank you.
Now I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bishop. Ms. Miller.
Chair Brown, members of the committee, for the record, Andy Miller, Oregon Business Association, and I'd like to go on record as saying Bruce Bishop sounds like a lobbyist.
been called worse.
Speaking to Dash 18, you know I jumped up the other night. I couldn't contain myself. I really do think he has a very good idea here. The biggest reason I think this is a good idea is for years we've been hearing from the advocates that we need an independent source of funding. As in prior sessions, I have been a person to be on the other side of helping to ask for money for this agency, and it was very painful. It's kind of like trying to get money for the voter's pamphlet. And this budget, this current proposal, has an adequate amount for the GSPC, but that's just one time, and you don't know what's going to happen down the pike. So if you have a stable and independent source of funding, which an endowment would create, I think it's terrific. I think it suits most people's goals. It's independent. It's transparent. It's sustainable, which is the big word this time. Senator Ferriola and I were becoming email pen pals yesterday afternoon, working on some other ideas with this amendment. And one of the things I think would be doable is to have a one-time assessment of the entities and spread the endowment, funding the endowment over two or three biennia. Because if we are still not anticipating a recession currently, and the projection is that we might be able to sustain the level that the co-chairs recommended, funding the GSPC for three biennia with the additional bump of the initial assessment of sort of get it neat and clean and done. And then you've got the fund and it's done. So that was kind of where we were with it. I don't know if the discussion will go any further, but it just seems like a reasonable solution to what's been an ongoing problem. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Questions?
Senator Johnson.
just listening to your testimony, Ms. Miller, it occurred to me that one of the dilemmas with the Dash 18s right now is finding $14 million, particularly in light of some of the revelations of yesterday. I'm just wondering if, in your pen pal correspondence with Senator Farioli, you gave any other thought to any other aggregations of public money that are that have high standards of being violated by the legislatures that produce interest earnings, and if any of that interest earning could be tapped for this purpose.
Chair Brown, Senator Johnson, I don't profess to be an economics expert. That would be my boss. But I'm trying to use some common sense here. There would be public monies from the initial assessment. So we were that I put that into my suggestions to address your concern that the people that are getting the service should have some responsibility for carrying it. However, once we have the system sustainable, which I don't know if Senator Farioli has run these numbers. We haven't had time really to figure out how much it would take to stabilize that fund so that we could take out. I believe Senator Farioli's figure was 98 point something percent. Yearly and sustain that fund. So, and the interest that would be all structured. You know, you'd have to structure the trust in a certain manner. Whether you keep the interest or not would be a part of that trust. Did that answer your question?
Yes.
Thank you. Anything else? Again, my comments is if folks reach consensus and can get 31 and 16 votes regarding where the $14 million can come from, I'm very happy to.
Excuse me, Chair Brown, there would be no $14 million initially. There would be the one. The 1.1 that is in for this, that is in the co-chair's budget now, plus an assessment, a one-time assessment, as per the original plan that I walked in on the other day. So there would not be a go-free pass for the entities that are using that service. And then you would add each biennia the same amount that is now budgeted for the GSPC, which would be 1.2 million right now. And build that trust. And I don't know how long it would take. We didn't have time to go that far with the figures. So there is no 14.5 anywhere in the equation I was envisioning.
And your suggestion is that essentially we would, for example, double the fees that all of the municipalities would pay under the auditing system, and that half of that would go into a trust fund, and that those are an endowment fund, and those dollars would accumulate over whatever period of time, 5, 10, or 15 years, until we have the endowment fund accumulated, right?
Right. But
and all I'm saying is I'm happy to entertain any of those proposals down in Ways and Means once we have folks come together on it. My guess is if we say to the League of Oregon Cities or the Association of Oregon Counties that instead of paying each municipality paying $1,000 for the biennium for GSPC, that they're going to be paying $2,000, my guess is folks are going to get a little concerned about that. That's just my guess.
Chair Brown, members of the committee, we have some factors yet to consider, and that would be the May forecast and also what happens with the county money.
Right.
And so there's a lot still out there, I think, to give up on an idea that's this creative.
I'm not giving it up, and I've been very clear. If folks come together around a proposal about and can bring me the $14 million and the 16 and 31 votes to get there, I am very happy to make sure it moves forward. I don't think that's the issue at all.
Senator Farioli.
The opportunity to do that is exactly what we have before us. If we amend the Dash 18s into the bill and send it forward to Ways and Means, that will certainly catalyze the discussion that we're referring to here. And either Senator Johnson or Representative Jensen would have the opportunity to work that bill. It would give us a chance to look through the budget for either the $14.5 million or some other amount that we could agree to with 16 and 31. Failing that, certainly the other Dash amendments could be amended into the bill in Ways and Means. So, Madam Chair, my hope is that we can send this bill forward with the Dash 18s inside with the explicit expectation that either Representative Jensen or Senator Johnson, who may work the bill, will give the opportunity for people to go on that little Easter egg hunt for $14.5 million. And if they're successful, fine, or if they're partially successful, fine. And if they're not successful in convincing folks, that's a great idea. There certainly is the other amendments that could go with the file.
Thank you, Senator Ferriello. I think we've been through this conversation numerous times. My concern about the endowment or trust fund approach is that it took us over a decade to create a general rainy day savings account for human services and public safety, and it took a lot of work to get us there. And if folks can find the $14 million, I'm very happy to go there and the votes to create it. Again, if it's raised on a fee assessment basis, I think you're going to have the same pushback from the local entities. The other piece is I think it's really important for local governments to have some skin in the game, and that we know, we've heard testimony that a huge or at least a portion of the work in front of the Government Standards and Practices Commission is from local governments, and that if we do a endowment-type fund, not everyone gets to participate. So did you want to move the Dash 18 amendment?
Madam Chair, I would like to move the Dash 18s, noting that every Oregon citizen should have skin in this game, and that's what happens when you use general fund money to form an endowment for the GSPC. So moved, Madam Chair.
Senator Ferriello has moved the Dash 18 amendments. Is there any discussion? Ms. Shuhart, would you please call the roll?
Senator Ferriello?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Senator Montes Anderson?
No.
Senator Nelson?
Aye.
Chair Brown?
Chair votes no. Motion fails. Chair would move the Dash 20 amendments.
Before we do that,
yeah.
And I know it's too late to do this. I really appreciate Mr. Rutlinger's insertion as a member of the household. But there are some of us legislators that do not have members of a household other than ourselves. And on occasion, I have taken my sister, and I have taken my daughter, and I have taken my son. And so I'm not sure. It's probably too late to do any of that here, but it is, I'm very comfortable going to these things by myself, but occasionally it, very rarely, one of the members of my family would like to go with me, and I let them come. So I don't know where that could fit in, but maybe in Ways and Means they could look at my particular situation, and I think a few others in this legislature.
Senator Montes Anderson, thank you. And I would like to do that in Ways and Means. I think we want to play with that and make sure we want to make sure that you can take your sister on occasion, but also that that doesn't get abused, so that people are taking large numbers of
family members
and all that good stuff. So anything else? Chairs move the Dash 20 amendments. Any further discussion?
I'm sure
Senator Nelson?
I'll be a no vote, not because I don't believe in what we're trying to do here, but I think we have those five principles, you know, are the voters informed, foster political activity, is it flexible and easy to understand and to administer, does it combat influence peddling and foster competition. I think those are a pretty solid set of principles, and it's not 3 out of 4 or 3 out of 5 or 4 out of 5. It should be 5 out of 5, and I just don't think this bill reaches that point, even with the amendments. And I think it's our responsibility as a committee to come out of here with the best bill we possibly can. And at this point, I don't feel that we're doing that. So,
thank you, Senator Nelson. I appreciate that. Any further discussion?
Madam Chair, I'll vote no against the amendment simply because I believe that the Dash 18 is a better funding mechanism. And I want to make very clear that I'll be supporting the bill as it leaves from the committee, and I'll be working to support that. The bottom line is that there's a great deal of progress in this bill. And there's an awful lot in the bill that reflects the thinking of members of my caucus who worked to try to improve the bill, and I appreciate the fact that the bill reflects some of those concepts. So with that being said, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Ferriello. Ms. Shuhart, would you please call the roll?
Senator Ferriello?
No.
Senator Johnson?
Yes.
Senator Montes Anderson?
Aye.
Senator Nelson?
No.
Chair Brown?
Chair votes aye. Motion carries.
Senator Brown moves Senate Bill 10 as amended that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Nothing further? Would you please call the roll?
Senator Farioli.
Aye.
Senator Johnson.
Aye.
Senator Montes Anderson.
Aye.
Senator Nelson.
No.
Chair Brown.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries.
Madam Chairman.
Senator Farioli.
Vote explanation.
Please.
Thank you. I think we send this bill forward, and it clearly needs more work. And I trust that it will get more work in Ways and Means. And even though a lot of that work will be of a substantive nature, I think we send the bill forward with a very confused fee schedule. And I think my good colleague from the Pendleton area made clear his objections to that bill. I think we'll hear about that on the floor. The assessment, the authorization of funds out through appropriation and the assessment back is a cumbersome mechanism to fund this organization. And I think eventually what we'll do is send organizations of differing size wrangling with the GSPC and others about who the FTEs are and when they counted and when they came on and what how to count them. And I think we're creating a paper chase that's going to cost money and cause confusion. So, Madam Chair, I think the direction and the scope of the bill is a good public policy direction for us to take. I think it does send a message. I believe that there's room for improvement in this bill, particularly the issue of creating a sustainable, transparent, largely untouchable funding mechanism for GSPC. And I hope we get a chance to continue our good work on the bill.
Thank you, Senator Farioli. And as I mentioned numerous times at this point, I'm very happy to continue consideration of an endowment or trust fund in order to provide ongoing funding. And if folks can come together around that and provide the resources to do that, I'm very happy to go that route. In terms of the specific auditing fee, I'm confident, since we already have a system in place, that the administrative costs will be extremely minimal. And I just want to say thank you to the League of Oregon Cities for bringing that concept forward. We really appreciate your input. I also want to say thank you. There are a number of folks, including Wendy Johnson from the Law Commission, who's here, Janice Thompson, who's probably off having fun because she never gets to do that, who've been very energetic and provided a lot of input, and we really appreciate your time and energy as well. So with that, we call the roll. I don't remember.
Yeah, you call.
Call the roll. We're good. Okay. We will be Friday, April 6th.
That's the next meeting.
Next meeting is Friday, April 6th. I was like, next Friday is a in-district day for all of you, for all of us. So we'll meet April 6th at 1. We've got a few bills that we heard early on that we need to work session. And then we've got a number of executive appointments. So stay tuned.
And Madam Chair.
Senator Farioli.
Just to say a word of thanks to the State Treasurer and his office for helping to craft the Dash 18s and all those folks who stood up for a good idea. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks to all of you for your hard work. And on that happy note, we are adjourned. Travel safely.